But he wants us to know that he will never, ever be ashamed to identify with you. He loves you. And he wants all of the world to see you with him. That's a true lover. That is the lover of my soul. Man, I tell you what, it's so ironic. Isn't that ironic? The irony of this is just amazing. Here you have Jesus, okay? The only perfect man who ever walked this earth. Jesus, God incarnate, Jesus, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of love, full of grace. And yet so many people are ashamed of him. But then you have us. And you and I can be so full of dysfunction, can't we? Man, we have us. We who have done in the course of our lives horrible, selfish things, wicked things, despicable things, things we're ashamed of. And yet when we come before Jesus to lay a hold of him, he is not ashamed of us. Isn't that ironic? Jesus, the perfect man, full of love, compassion, and mercy, and so many are ashamed of him. Then you have us, full of dysfunction and despair and rottenness and wickedness, and he is not ashamed of us. Because you know what? He doesn't see us the way we were. He didn't see that stuff, man. He sees us as a bride without spot or blemish. He sees us the way he has made us by his blood and who he is making us to be. He sees us in the eyes of heaven as we are one day going to be for all of eternity. And he loves us in all the fullness of that. And he is not ashamed of us. You don't ever have to hesitate when you go to Jesus with whatever's on your heart that he is going to hesitate for a moment to pull you into his arms and love on you and embrace you and hear what you have to say. He loves everything about you. He's not ashamed. So, you know, I just want to close with this. When you consider that question that Jesus asked us, who do you say that I am? When you, after you're done with all your nice theological answers, and after you're done quoting all the prophecies about him and all the names given by him, given about him in the Bible, and all the things you want to say if you're ever taking a theology class on Christ and you want to get a good grade, and your professor says, who is Jesus? And you want to say all these nice little things so you can get a 100 on your class. After you're done with all of those things, I think God wants this question to lead us into an encounter with him. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Yes, he is all of those things, but you know what? He's something more. He's the one who sees John D'Souza, or insert your name there. He's the one who sees me and is not ashamed of me. He's the one who sees me and loves me. He's the one who would rather die than be without me. And as you think of all the things, all the ways he has put his signature on your life, can you think of any of those things? Things that he has done for you that has just wrote his signature on your life? When he asks you, who do you say that I am? He already knows all the theology, trust me. He knows the Bible. Jesus knows the Bible. And those are good answers, and you ought to know them. But when Jesus says to you, one-on-one, personally, in your quiet time with him, who do you say that I am? Don't give him all those answers. Tell him who he is to you personally and what he has meant to you in your life and all the ways that he has just graced you with his amazing love, and say, Lord, you're the one that covered me when I said those things, and they were so, and I couldn't believe those things came out of my mouth, and I was so embarrassed, and I was so humiliated, and you covered my sin with your love, and you showed me such grace that I was able to walk into that room the next day and not be ashamed. You were the one, Lord, when I felt like I had no hope in life, you came and you touched my spirit and gave me hope and gave me a sense that day was going to be all right. You're the one who, when everyone else was saying all these things about me and they just didn't understand, you're the one who looked me in the eye and said, I love you. Whether anybody else sees this or not, I see the beauty in you. I see the purpose that I have in you. I am so enthralled with you. And when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? That's the answer that he's looking for. That's the answer he wants you to come up with tomorrow and the next day and the next week, because he wants you to create a story with him. Jesus wants you to have your own story with him. And I am a man of the word. I love the word passionately. I would die for this word. But there's a story yet to be written, and that's the story of your life with Jesus. And he wants you to write that story fresh every day. No, it's not authoritative like Scripture is. That's not what I'm talking about. We understand that Scripture is the infallible, God-breathed standard of authority for word and faith and practice. I'm saying Jesus wants you to write your story with him today, this afternoon, tonight. He wants you to write your story with him tomorrow morning, Monday morning. Yes, he can inhabit Monday morning. You can have a story with Jesus on Monday morning. I know you're looking at me like you're crazy, John. He can be the one who brushes the hair out of your face on Monday morning and whispers gently in your ear, what a day I've got for you. You're not very excited now, but if you could see what I have planned for you today, you would leap out of this bed and run to meet the day. He wants to write a story so that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years about from now, when he says to you, who do you say that I am? You will have such an answer for him. It'll take you hours to get finished answering that question. So we're going to take communion here. If someone wants to go ahead and go get Larry and the kids and Debbie. But as we take these elements of the bread and the wannabe wine, in addition to celebrating all the things that represents, because he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Yes, we want to remember how beautiful that he died on that cross for us. How beautiful that he conquered sin and death by rising from the dead. That in that he broke the back of the enemy's power over us. And he set us free in those things. That's beautiful. And yes, we do want to truly celebrate that. But as we take these elements, let's also celebrate the answer to that question. Who do you say that I am? And as you take that bread, you think of him as the bread of your life. He's the one who feeds you and sustains you with everything that he is and everything that he wants to do in your life as he writes the story of your life with you together. And I want this just to be a time of intimacy. Don't let this just be an ordinance. You know, in our statement of faith, we say this is an ordinance. It is. But let this be personal today. Let this be so personal today that as you take these elements, it's like you're just feeding on him. It's like you're saying, Lord, I can't live without you. I can't live without you. I need you today like I need the very food to feed my body. You mean that much to me. And I don't want to ever go a day without feasting on the bread of your presence in my life. Amen.